Welcome, my brothers and sisters, to today's podcast of The Daily Manna, or Your Daily Manna. I'm your host, Duran Henriquez, and the topic of discussion for today, which will be a lengthy one. We won't necessarily break this one up, but we do want to make sure that we cover everything. Like all things, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious, most heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and benevolence that you show us. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your long suffering with us. We pray and ask now that as we open your word and as we discuss the topics that we have, that you can send us your Holy Spirit. Please uplift and open our minds. Give us ears to hear. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and ask all these things. Amen. So the topic for today, the title will be, It's Time. Now, you might be asking yourself, what's the question? It's time for what? It's time for us to sit down and have a conversation. And in all reality, as the description of this podcast is, the truth with no sugarcoating, I cannot stand by faithfully while error, or even better yet, while the truth is not being presented. So without further ado, let us turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 18. So we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 1. And we will read verse 18. It says, Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God wants us to do all things in reasoning. Let us come and reason together. Therefore, as we present, or as I present this message, again, we pray that the Holy Spirit will intercede and guide our minds. So the question I want to ask next is, who are we as a people? Who are we? Gathered together, there may be listeners all across the world. Some may be Christians, some may be non-Christians. Some may be Adventists, some may be non-Adventists. I am a Seventh-day Adventist. So when it comes to the principle of what I'm asking, who are we? I am mainly speaking to the Adventist Church as a whole, not one specific group of the denomination of the churches, just period, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So who are we? When it comes down to answering that question, we are Seventh-day Adventists. Well, why is the next question. Why are we Seventh-day Adventist? Why should we go out and proclaim for all those outside of our belief, come in and worship with us? Why should anyone that is, say for instance, a Baptist or Methodist or a Lutheran, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic, non-denominational, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, why should an atheist, why should anybody come in fellowship and worship with us? Are we any different in the way that we worship or in our beliefs? If I were to stand in any church, and we have to even be careful, even within some Seventh-day Adventist churches, this question still needs to be posed. Are we any different than the world? How are our beliefs different from theirs? How does what we present or represent to be as truth given through the scriptures different from theirs, that it should bestow that they come and worship with us, that we should go out and attempt to get them to come in and see exactly who we are. If you do any type of research, now you may find, I found the greatest number to be something upwards of 30,000. That is quite large. I don't have the exact, and I don't believe that there will be an exact number that can be given for Christian denominations in the world. There are going to be thousands of churches or different denominations that are in the world, some within the same splits of the same religion or the same denomination. There are several groups of Baptists. There are seven different groups of Adventists. So still, how are our beliefs different from theirs? Now, the area that I'm currently residing in, it's in close proximity. It's not right around the corner by any means. It still takes quite a bit of time for us to get there, but kind of in the proximity of Southern Adventist University. So there are quite a few within a 10-mile radius Adventist churches available to go to church on Sabbath, along with other organizations and events to partake in. But I think this actually will, the way that things are happening at the time, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Okay, now that we're back, we're picking up on the topic, or the title being It's Time. Where we left off was speaking about our beliefs and the amount of different denominations that there are. So, as I'm asking this question, could it be that even within the Seventh-day Adventist Church, there's the possibility for the members, for the body, to have different beliefs all under the same roof? So I'll break this down to you in a more personal way. And I'll bring you along with myself. If I, being a Seventh-day Adventist, go to ABC Adventist Church, you attend Seventh-day Adventist ABC Church as well. You hold one belief as an Adventist, and I hold a different belief as an Adventist, but yet we go to the same place. How much of a possibility do you think there is that that exists? My brethren, it is more common, unfortunately, to have under the same roof members that disagree, members that are not, number one, unified, but members that have a complete and distinct view on and or of their faith. I want to turn your minds, and let's turn our Bibles, and we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we will be reading verse 12. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." We are all at different stages or walks in the faith. But that does not mean that even though we are at different phases in each person's race, that the belief should vary. The belief should remain the same. The applicable knowledge that is given will vary. Some may have greater, some may have lesser knowledge. But we all grow to know the same knowledge. Secondarily, as the verse stated, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. Too many times do we have this preacher, ABC preacher, versus DEF preacher. Or even you take ABC pastor, preacher, evangelist, and you compare their life, their walk, with your life and with your walk. Well, I'm much better than they are. Well, they're better off than I am. It's a very big trap that Satan has set, a snare, to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. It ends saying that all who do so are not wise. So this is where we want to take some time and actually have some personal, internal, deep reflection. Take time to actually have and take and start having deep study, where something that will make a change happen in our lives. And that's called a revival and a reformation. And just a quick tidbit, a revival is only going to be, you revive something that's dead, not something that's alive. You don't need to revive something that's already alive. So understanding that we first do have to die. We need to die to self and reform and be changed into the likeness of Christ, our example. To be revived and be reformated, to go through true revival and reformation, we have to take that internal reflection, look at ourselves, and then look at the standard. The questions we asked earlier, by God's grace, should open our minds, get you to think. Or am I any different from all these other denominations that, even though I'm in the Adventist Church, do I believe that I actually have the truth? And if I have the truth, how can myself and someone else of the world be so similar? How can we look just like each other in words and actions and thought, even in belief? But turn your Bibles now with me to Ezekiel. And we're going to read in Ezekiel. We're going to go to chapter 3. So let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. And we're going to read Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. And the Bible says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. So what we see the Bible saying clearly is that if we do not warn the wicked, but we just simply tell him, you're wicked, so therefore you're going to die, but we give him no warning, him or her, them, whatever you want to put it as, not to turn from their wicked ways, not to present salvation to them, not only shall they, because they are wicked, definitely die because of their iniquity, but their blood will also be counted on to you. There will not be a single righteous individual that is in heaven that has the blood of a wicked person on their hands. This goes back to what I started this podcast out with. I cannot stand by idly and say nothing when either error is being taught or the truth is not being taught. No longer can there be any type of sugarcoating. No longer can there be complacency among the church. It is time to wake up. It's time to wake up and do what God has instructed us to do. Now, today, I'm very privileged to be recording, but also to be presenting this message to you, whether or not you hear it on this day or not. Today is the Sabbath day. It is God's holy day. Why would we be gathered together today on the Sabbath? We're gathered here because this is the day that God has called holy. This is the day that God has given us to rest. This is the day that we are told specifically to worship God and to keep this day holy. If we take a look and say back to our earlier question, what makes us different? Some would pipe up and say, we keep the Sabbath. We believe in the Sabbath. Okay. Let me stop you there. If all we have is the Sabbath to show us as different from the world, then the world doesn't need us. Now, don't get me wrong. God forbid I say anything to negate the Sabbath in any way. Because that is not what I'm saying. I am simply saying that if all we have to be show or to show ourselves different than the world is that we believe in the Sabbath and that we keep the Sabbath, that's our day of worship, then the world does not need us. There are other churches that keep Sabbath that are not Adventists. If you take a look at other churches and you see what they preach, they may preach on biblical accounts of, you know, individuals' lives, whether you talk of David, whether it's the story specifically of David and Goliath or different experiences that David has had throughout his life. Take Abraham, the father of the faithful, his experiences. You take Moses, the children of Israel, their course of time. And of course, there's always going to be sermons, discussions, topics, Bible studies, lessons given on Christ. Christ and especially the cross, the resurrection. This is a time frame we're getting close to what's called the Easter time frame. There are sermons preached about love. There are sermons preaching about power, about how to get that power, how to plug into that power. The love about us being love, showing love, receiving love, loving one another, unity in love, the Holy Spirit, the cross and all of its meaning. So besides the Sabbath, what again separates us from the world? When these are the same sermons that week to week, Sabbath after Sabbath, are being preached from our pulpits consistently, fervently. Love, power, the Holy Spirit, the cross, all very necessary sermons, Bible studies, teachings, lessons, discussions that we need to have. So what separates us? Are we all just one and the same? Do, or should I, I'll ask it this way. Are all of these in the different denominations, do all of these paths lead to Christ in heaven? Does the path Baptist and their belief lead you to Christ into heaven? Does the Methodist lead you to Christ into heaven on that same path? We're not talking about different paths in the sense of, or are we? Are there multiple ways to get to Christ, to get to heaven? Or is it, as the Bible says, the straight and narrow path? There is only one. And while we're here, we're actually going to take a quick break. I'm going to go ahead and break these up into segments. So bear with me. Bear with us. We hope to have you join back with us here in just a moment. And thank you for joining us back. You are listening to Your Daily Manna with your host, Duran Henriquez. And our topic today, we're continuing with the discussion of It Is Time. And where we left off, we just, again, are comparing and looking to say we're using this inner reflection time. As Seventh-day Adventists, are we different from the world? Who are we? Why are we here? Last question kind of dealt with the aspect of the different sermons that are being preached from the pulpit, Sabbath, week after week, the same as those of the world in different denominations. But let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. And if everybody will join me, Revelation chapter 12, we will start and read in verse 17. And Revelation 12, verse 17 says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." There's a word right almost in the middle of that that we want to focus on. Then I'm going to ask you, what is that word? That word is remnant. Let's just break this down quickly. "And the dragon was wroth with the woman." Stop. One, the dragon. Now, without me giving you all the text that lead to this, just like this very podcast and all the previous podcasts and the podcast that will be in the future, it is not my job, it is not my duty to provide you with every single answer. It is your responsibility as a Christian, as an individual, to study, to show thyself approved unto God. Not to have everything spoon-fed to you that you get all that you need and you do no study of your own. So when we look at certain texts, this is never going to be a fully exhaustive, but it will be a discussion. It requires that you spend time on your own studying out the scriptures. So again, when we start out and it says, "And the dragon was wroth," the dragon representing Satan, was wroth, mean angry, upset, frustrated, with fury against. It says, with the woman. In prophetic language in the Bible, a woman is a representation of the church, or of a church. So, and Satan, just to put it back in the context of the words that we're saying, and Satan was enraged with the church and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Stop. This is where we're going to break down this second section. The woman to make war with the remnant of her seed. So the church, the remaining members of that church. These are those that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, what is a remnant? A remnant, as we just said, a remnant is the remaining, the last part of, or the last bit. We believe, obviously, as a church, that the remnant church is the Seventh Adventist Church. It'd be kind of ridiculous for me to say, I believe that the last church of the Bible that God's people will come from is the Pentecostal church. So if I believe that, then therefore I should be a part of it. I should be a Pentecostal, if that's what I would believe the scriptures were to entail and tell me to be. From everything that I've studied, I can only see one church that fits the description of the true church, the remnant church, that being the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But I must put this out there because I don't want anyone to put words in my mouth. That does not mean that the only individuals that are going to be saved are only those that are represented as Seventh-day Adventists right now. There are those from other folds that God is calling, whether they be Pentecostal, whether they be Baptist, whether they be non-denominational, whether they possibly even may be atheist. They could be complete evolutionist. They could be Buddhist. They could be Muslims. It does not matter. God has people that he is calling out of other folds to come into his one fold, period. Now, we're going to just name off a few. Now, this would be where we kind of have some interacting. And you can have some interaction with me. I know it won't be the same where I can respond to the things that you're saying. But let's look at some other distinguishing factors or differences, beliefs that are held specifically by the Seventh-day Adventist Church that make or distinguish us differently, or that separates us from others, and the belief of it, and how that belief is actually interpreted biblically. So, one thing is going to be, obviously, as it says right there in chapter 12 of the Revelation, verse 17, is that it ends, have the testimony of Jesus Christ, the testimony of Jesus Christ being very pivotal. The beginning part of that is that keep the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments specifically, the second coming of Christ, not only that it will happen, but how it will happen. If you look in Revelation 14, verse 6 through 12, we have the three angels' messages. We have in Exodus 20, starting in verse 8, the Sabbath. Exactly, not just the Sabbath, but how to keep that day holy, truly. We have something through the tribulation. There is considered, I believe, three major beliefs of how that will happen. You have pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-tribulation views. There is death. What we show that the Bible clearly states on our position for death. The same with our position when it comes to hell. The same position that we hold for baptism, for what's considered to be the true mark of the beast, spoken of in Daniel and Revelation. The studies that go hand in hand to identify. You have both a dress reform, a health reform, There is the spirit of prophecy. There is also what we call the sanctuary message. This is not to say this is every single thing pinpointed down and there is nothing else to add to this list. We're just going over a few of these distinct features that identify a Seventh-day Adventist from someone else. Now, for those listening, you can't literally raise your hand and be able to see, and that's quite okay. Just think to yourself, I'm going to name off a few numbers or titles, and I want you to know or to ask yourself if you can actually give a summary of the details of these things. Not that you've just heard of them, but that you've heard of them, that you've studied them out, and that you could actually present them and give them to somebody else to shed light to them. Revelation 18, verses 1 through 5. Exodus 20, verse 1 through 17. The year 1798. The year 457 BC. The 70 weeks. Revelation 14, verse 6 through 12. The year 1844. 1260 days. 2300 days. Now, if you can give someone else the light on what those things are, that you've studied it out, then praise God. Especially if you have the name Adventist and you are a Seventh-day Adventist. Now, if you are a Seventh-day Adventist and you cannot, I will be praying not only for you, but for the rest of our church. Because these are dates that we should be well familiar with. Our young ones should be well familiar with these dates, times, scripture, period. And just run through a few of them real quickly. The 2300 days was a prophecy referring to the cleansing of the sanctuary. The 1260 days, also called time, times, and dividing of time, or time, time, and half a time, refers to the time that the church would be in darkness during the Dark Ages. The 70 weeks was what's considered to be the Jewish probation back before and through the time of Christ, up until his crucifixion and then 3.5 years after. 1844 is the beginning date of the cleansing of the sanctuary. 457 BC was a decree from Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem. 1798 is when the papacy received its deadly wound. It's the beast referenced in Revelation. Do that study. Revelation 14, 6 through 12 is the aspect of the three angels' messages. That is the three angels' messages listed out. Exodus 20, verse 1 through 17 are the Ten Commandments spoken by God on Mount Sinai. Revelation 18, 1 through 5 is going to be the third angel repeated with a loud cry. These are just some of the distinct aspects that get you back to that point, that initial question. How are our beliefs different from anyone else? It's time. It's time that this talk is no longer a fact that we are talking, but now that we are going to put action behind that talking. It is time, and it's past time, for God to become real to us. We will either treat him as if he is their sovereign Lord and Savior, But we will treat him like some old relic that had fables that we speak about, or that may have some good concepts. But we have no relationship with him. It's past time for us to live the way that we profess to live. If you turn in Joshua, and we don't actually have to read it, but I am going to read it because I love it. So there's nothing better than reading from scripture that you love. And it's not that I want to pick and choose specific, but when you love scripture, it's amazing. We're going to turn to Joshua. We're going to read chapter 24. And when you get there, I would say amen. But because we are on this study electronically, when you get to Joshua, we're going to read chapter 24, read verse 15. And the Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Is that the promise that you want to make today, that you will choose this day to serve God? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, we brought up numerous points. I know that would seem like that would be a good stopping point. And as much as I want to stop, there's still so much more that I have to go through. But I might just make this a multi-part. So as I close with part one, I believe it probably will be a part of three. Truly take a look inside. Start to think of yourself and be real. Be real with yourself, because God knows your heart. God knows all those inner thinkings. And not only does God know that, but those outside of you see by the fruit that you live. There's nothing worse than a hypocrite that says, "I love God, but truly you hate him." That damages Christianity more than anything else. So if it is your goal to not only take that reflection, but to look to say, "I need to die to self. I need to be revived and I need to be reformated." If you want to make the plea that today is the time that I will stand up and I will call myself a Seventh-day Adventist and I will live my life true to that, I ask that you join and pray with me. Our dear gracious Father in heaven, we thank you that we have this ability, that we have this time, that we can come together, that we can look through your word, that we can have a discussion. Father, it's well past the time that we have. There is no time to play. We don't have time for games. You are almost at the door, and you are seeking after each heart willing to come after you. Father, I pray with each person out there that is listening, whether they are international, whether they are in the States, whether they are in my own home church, whether they are in my family. I pray for each individual person that you present yourself in such a way that they cannot deny you. Because I know that you said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Father, I lift you up. And where I'm incapable, I pray that you give me the strength and the power to lift you up and to downgrade myself as I am. And I thank you so much for your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask all these things. Amen. And so with that, I expect, or I would love for you all to join me in part 2. And until next time, God bless.